It's a wonderful word, euphoria. The Oxford Dictionary tells us it refers to a feeling or state of intense excitement or happiness, and that it's rooted in the Greek euphoros, meaning healthy, born well. As it happens, Glenn Stanley relishes those moments in the late music of Beethoven, like those in the last of his piano sonatas, where each of the pieces builds to a finale that reaches its fulfillment and culminates in a lyric euphoria. Stanley uses that word. And so does Marcia Adler, talking about the very same sonata. She reminds us that the finale is a mammoth set of variations. She says, with what seems like no effort at all, the contented quality of the opening theme is built up into a wild euphoria by the third variation. Complex subdivisions of meter in the first two variations slowly increase the excitement until all of a sudden it seems as if Beethoven has discovered jazz. And she quotes pianist Robert Taub, who describes this work as a piece of unmatched drama and transcendence, the triumph of order over chaos, of optimism over anguish. All that from an essay titled Beethoven Piano Sonata Opus 111, July 2008, by Marcia Adler. Thank you. Stanley and Adler are joined by Opus 111, saying this is a set of variations that takes us per aspera ad astra, from darkness to the stars, from struggle into light. Donald Del Mezzo has been a professional musician throughout his career, playing as a violist with the New York City Opera Orchestra and retiring in recent years to the Lehigh Valley. He is convinced of the power of music to move us deeply and give us moments like those just described. And in an interview, he told Andrew George in the Express Times he believes a great musical performance will do what a great sports event or a great public celebration will do. Everybody participates, they bring everything they have, and they walk out with a kind of elation of having been together. Elation. That sounds something like euphoria. Don Del Mezzo is founding director of Larche Concert Group, and it is just such moments Larche would like to bring to us, not only moments of euphoria, but of quiet beauty or comic delight, pure, propulsive power, perhaps, in works of Beethoven, Debussy, Rachmaninoff, and more that are in store for us in the course of the 2017-2018 season presented by Larche Concert Group at the Cecilia S. Cohen Recital Hall at East Stroudsburg University, opening Friday, September 8th, with the Ulysses String Quartet, continuing into June 2018. We had a chance to speak by phone with Don Del Mezzo about the performances and Larche Concert Group.
Larche Concert Group came into existence because I've started doing some representation and publicity for musicians, but also I very much want to continue my own lifelong connection to classical music by bringing some of the repertory and masterpieces that I personally love so much to this region. My wife and I own a farm in Northampton County to which we have retired, and we're busier than ever, but theoretically we're retired. And this is an opportunity for me to do that for our region. And the Larche concerts at Cohen Hall in East Stroudsburg University began, I guess it was about 4 years ago. We started off with a few concerts, and the audience reaction has been absolutely extraordinary. We have a core audience that is so remarkable because they get it. They get everything. The feeling I have is that we could triple the number that we do eventually, and we would find the audience tripling in size as well for all of those concerts. So there's a certain kind of euphoria in the arts. There's the euphoria that you get when, heavens, you listen to the Ninth Symphony or Marriage of Figaro, or the euphoria you get at the Modern when you see Van Gogh's Starry Night and that gigantic Pollock on the wall on the same floor. And then there's the euphoria of a musician like me when I know the music that's coming this season, and the musicians are going to play it, and I'm so excited. I can't tell you how happy we are to be bringing the series to the public again.
We might never have come across Stephen Whale, but you have introduced him and not just given us one chance to hear him, but brought him back in a number of different ways so he can share the complexity of his insights and his talents with us.
Stephen, a very young man who incidentally seems to look younger every time I encounter him. He's remarkable. He will be one of our performers, and so he's a real audience favorite. I must begin by saying that last season, Eugene Albulescu played three recitals dedicated to the repertory of the romantic piano, and he, along with some other artists, absolutely set the standard for what we are shooting for. And I'm happy to say I think that we're going to meet it. Stephen will be back. He is coming on April 21st, 2018. He's going to be playing Debussy, the Suite Bergamasque, the Mozart A minor sonata, a sonata by Rautavaara, a very interesting contemporary Scandinavian composer, and then, of course, a Chopin group. Stephen is one of these poets who really represent a particular tradition of his instrument, and I think of him in the same vein as artists like Korzhovsky and the Romantic Poles of the last century, who created a very beautiful, remarkable interior sound in what they did, not lacking in any power, but with a kind of poignancy and a dynamic range that just illuminates the palette of the music he's going to be playing. That's going to be on April 21st. I'm also excited to say we have another solo piano recital. Out of the blue, I received an email from a young woman who is from Ukraine and who is in the United States. Her name is Liana Kanayeva, and she just asked if she could come and play in our series. And I was interested and looked up her performances on YouTube and was completely bowled over. Stephen is the poet. Liana is the tornado. She has the Slavic virtuosity of all of their greatest, Hillel's, Richter. She's going to be playing Rachmaninoff, Brahms Opus 76 piano pieces, the Ravel La Valse in its original setting for solo piano, and she will also play the Appassionata Sonata of Beethoven, his darkest sonata, and his most, in many ways, his most emotionally trying sonata, in my own view. Liana also wanted to play the Rachmaninoff Etude Tableau, and extraordinarily complex, difficult music, but she and I talked it over, and my suggestion, to which she agreed, would be that she will present Rachmaninoff's Variations on a Theme by Corelli. Now, this is the famous La Follia, which is not at all by Corelli. The progressions of the melody go back a century before him, but it is a particularly important theme, and of course in the variation form, to string players, thanks to Corelli. And Rachmaninoff created this work and dedicated it to Fritz Kreisler, his dear friend, with whom he recorded a number of sonatas, including the G major Beethoven sonata and the third Grieg violin sonata, as well as the Schubert A major duo. This work by Rachmaninoff has an extraordinary argument, and it will open Liana's program. Very interestingly, the La Follia means, of course, madness. It was depicting a dance that got increasingly incited and sexualized. And I understand that in some versions, men would don dresses and be carried around the community on the shoulders of other men as an example of how crazy things actually could get. Actually, maybe that's not so crazy. It sounds sort of like fun. But the Follia of Rachmaninoff moves into a kind of very dramatic, profoundly moving Slavic melancholy. And some of his deepest, most thoughtful music, and of course, virtuoso writing of the highest degree. So those are our two pianists who'll be playing recitals, and I hope that anyone who has any interest in the solo piano repertory will be joining us. Liana will be here on October 14th, 2017.
And then you are bringing us a number of chances to meet this exquisite group of string players, speaking of string players, the Ulysses Quartet.
Oh, yes. Here's the story. I had wanted to program the F minor quintet of Brahms, and Stephen suggested the Ulysses. So I looked them up. It's very easy to do with video, YouTube and Vimeo and things of that sort. And I was duly impressed and engaged them. And they came. They made a special point of learning a brand new work by David Williams, a quartet called Black Horses. Quite extraordinary. In any case, I was probably the only person in the hall who knew how they were going to play. And I was getting quite interested when I heard their rehearsal. Anyway, they began the concert. They played a slow movement by Weber that was an early work of his in late Romantic style. It was politely received. The quartet then came back on stage and played Haydn Opus 76 number 5, the D major, a quartet from that set. And as the music went on, I felt this charge building up in the audience. I was myself sort of dumbfounded at the technical polish and the virtuosity, but I was hearing many other things too, a glorious sound from these instrumentalists. Well, they concluded with the presto movement, and at the end of this, the place erupted. Never in my entire musical life have I been at a quartet concert and heard such an ovation after a quartet by Haydn. Who deserves it? No greater genius lived. But at that point, I figured, well, I don't have any choice. We have to ask these young musicians to become our principal artists. They will be back for three separate programs through the season, appearing, first of all, on our very first concert on Friday, September 8th, 2017. Then they will be back for dates in March 31st, 2018, and also June 23rd in 2018. Their programs are extremely interesting. They will begin with one of the most remarkable works of Schubert. That's the easy thing about programming masterpieces. I can always sort of sit back and know that the audience is going to be introduced to something unforgettable. And the musicians, well, we know them by heart. So they will open with the Quartetsatz in C minor by Schubert, a work that is unique. It stands alone in his other writing for chamber music. It's very brief. Begins with the storms of life and then opens up the world to melodies that seem to have been delivered to us from heaven itself. And they'll continue with more Haydn, in this case, Opus 33, the B minor quartet, a very unusual work by Haydn in a very unusual key that was very seldom approached by any of the classical composers, Haydn, Mozart, Beethoven. Of course, Bach and Schubert gravitated toward it. And then in the second half, they will play a work by Golijov, contemporary composer called Tenebrae, and conclude with the Debussy quartet, which makes me really happy because it connects, of course, to Stephen's performances of the four movements of Suite Bergamasque, which incidentally includes the famous Clair de Lune in its original setting. So the Ulysses quartet begins with a survey of the art of the string quartet, and then will take us into Brahms' C minor quartet, Janacek, second quartet, intimate letters, other works, and finally concluding with Opus 132 of Beethoven, which I won't try to find words to describe their playing of this, but it is not only one of the most important pieces of music ever composed, it's also a deeply personal one to Beethoven as well. And as I said, I hope that everyone in hearing range will make a point to find out a little bit more. This quartet, believe me, is playing with a heart and a soul and a perfection that I haven't really heard since the old days. There are many, many young quartet players, but this is the one that I think really deserves the highest praise out of all of those that I've heard.
And Stephen wouldn't have recommended them if he didn't see and hear that in them, I'm sure.
Well, I think they're all somehow connected. I think all of them are in a program at the City University of New York. I hope I'm not getting that wrong, which actually is quite interesting in that they study things that we sort of had to learn on the side back in my days in conservatory, things like phrase structure, analysis of the performing aspects of a piece of music. We used to say, for example, that every piece of music has structure and then the element of decoration. Well, what they're arguing today, someone at Yale whose name escapes me, refers to a work of music having its structure, its musical form, and then its character, which I think is a much stronger word than decoration, and which describes the individual aspects of our present culture, the personality of the actual performer, the individual insights that are inspired in the moment by the audience itself. Because as you know, our music, our art, cannot live without the emotional connection to an audience. That is the emotional connection which caused Verdi to say, when I compose, the tears flow. And it's the emotional connection which we're not allowed to cry when we perform this great music, but we know that it is spoken into the world and received and heard. And that connection is no light matter, especially in these days of struggle in our own country and around the world.
And in terms of practical matters, the wonderful thing is that you found a space in Cohen Recital Hall that is ideal for just this kind of music making.
Oh, it's a miracle. It's a hall, I believe the building dates from 1979. There are a few things that one has to adjust to. There is no handicapped access. So my special constituency of elderly members of the audience, we have to arrange for them to go around to the loading dock and take the elevator up a flight of stairs. There's also the additional problem, don't laugh, of how many restrooms are available. We have to be ready for that. This is what an impresario thinks about. But acoustically and in terms of the raked seating, it is acoustical perfection for the recitals and for the concerts we're giving. We are also having the American Classical Orchestra come back. They fit into the space quite well. And although I think the seating is only about 300, and we don't like to fill it entirely, Eric, I'm not in favor of situations in which too many people are shoulder to shoulder. You want people to stretch out a little bit. But the American Classical Orchestra will be back at some time, probably in June of 2018, to give a second concert in our wonderful, wonderful Cohen Hall. And they will bring with them Stephanie Chase playing as violinist the A minor concerto of Bach, one of the seminal works for violin students, incidentally. When things get really serious in a young student's violin education, it's time to say the A minor concerto. And it's an absolutely gloriously beautiful work. They will be playing one of the Brandenburg concertos as well. And Tom Crawford is extremely eager to come back. He remarked that never had he had such an enthusiastic audience for the Vivaldi that they brought last time. And the mention of a violinist, in this case Stephanie Chase, brings me to the last program of our series that I can tell you about, at least at this point, and this would be 7 events. And on May 12th, 2018, Tina Bowie, who is the first violinist of the Ulysses Quartet, will be playing a duo recital with Tatiana Tessman, brilliant young Russian pianist. Tina has a solo career. She's playing concertos all over the place. But I thought it'd be wonderful to have her and Tatiana give an example of what happens in the duo recital and how the individual choices balance. Tina perhaps will play Bach or Isai. Tatiana may play Beethoven. I do know they will conclude their recital with one of the old war horses by Camille Saint-Saëns, his third sonata for violin and piano. And it's a blockbuster. It ends with the Moto Perpetuo, which is just one of the real tests. Let's call it one of the great tests of the repertory. And not incidentally, this sonata has in it a little five-note phrase that keeps coming back again and again. I'll even spell it out for you. A, down to F sharp, G, down to E, back to F sharp. Five notes which became a recurring memory in the thematic material of Proust's In Search of Lost Time, Remembrance of Things Past. Ironically, he said that Saint-Saëns was not a composer that he really gravitated toward, but this one particular moment in the sonata somehow became central in his emotional constellation of his recollections and his creation of meaning from the past. So layers and layers of literary considerations go into these things, but I'm delighted to say when I look at all of the music that will be presented, back to euphoria. This is the fun of being a musician, and I'm quite certain that our audience is going to be joining me with the same.
Now tell people how they can find out more about Larchet.
Well, I love talking to people, first of all. They're most welcome to call me personally at Larchet. That telephone number is 917-716-9245. But the more textual method would be to go online to our website, and that is LarchetConcertGroup.com. It spells out as LARCHET Concert Group, all in one line, .com. And Larchet, of course, means the bow. I am a violist and a string player, and it just seemed like it'd be rather nice to draw attention to the role of the bow in the art of classical music. Oh, it's not about the art of the violin or the viola or the cello or the arpeggione or the viola da scala, all instruments that I think are still played today. It is about the bow, which unites us. And the idea of unity and connection is one of the things that guides us in the world of classical music, one of the reasons that we are musicians.
Donald Dalmazo, director, founder of Larchet Concert Group, speaking with us about the 2017-2018 season, getting underway with this ensemble, the Ulysses String Quartet, and that's September 8th. It's a Friday night at 7:30, and it is the first of the concerts at the Cecilia S. Cohen Recital Hall at East Stroudsburg University. They will be back on March 31st, Saturday, March 31st, and again in June, and that's the Ulysses String Quartet. Then Saturday, October 14th, Liana Panieva is a pianist from Ukraine, and she'll perform Rachmaninoff, the variations on a theme by Corelli, and much more. Also as part of the season, Stephen Whale. He is a pianist who has been on the programming series before this, and he will be back on April 21st, that's a Saturday. May 12th, it's Tina Bowie, who is the violinist. We're hearing here the first violinist with the Ulysses Quartet, and she'll be joined in a duo recital by Tatiana Tessman as the pianist. And as we heard, the American Classical Orchestra will be back under Thomas Crawford's direction, and that will likely be in June. For more information, on the web, LarchetConcertGroup.com. LARCHET, LarchetConcertGroup.com. And the Ulysses Quartet gets things underway on September 8th. It's a Friday evening at 7:30. And these performances are held at the Cecilia S. Cohen Recital Hall at East Stroudsburg University. For more information, on the web, LarchetConcertGroup.com, LarchetConcertGroup.com.